never do you think they'll drop the bomb? Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls?
Bubala Show on 720 WGN. We're kind of going over a lot tonight, what happened this past week with the election finally getting here, and now we deal with the aftermath. And one of our constants throughout this has been Professor Jeff McCall from DePaul University. He's a professor of media studies, and we chatted a lot about the debates. And Dr. McCall, we would say we're going to talk about debates. We'd barely talk about the debates and just talk about, I think, everything else within the scope of the election and the campaign. What I'd really like to ask you about today, and I don't know if you did much flipping around on election night and the day after, but it was very interesting to watch how the media reacted to what happened. First of all, the polling organizations had it so wrong, so terribly wrong. And so this was a very stunning, you know, we go into these things thinking we kind of know, especially us in the media, thinking we feel where it's going to shake out. And, you know, the last few days, I'm watching 538.com and things like that. The polling numbers had evened out. It looked like Hillary Clinton should be able to pull this off. The paths to Trump winning seemed narrow. He needed all these different things to happen. Lo and behold, all of those things happened. I mean,
and more.
And then some. And while he lost the popular vote, he had more than enough in the Electoral College to get himself there. And so here we are. And the media kind of, you know, on the one hand, looks not smart, at least when it comes to the polling. But also, so we watched MSNBC that night because I really enjoy Chris Matthews. And I know they're very left-leaning, but it's fun to watch them, quite honestly. And they were, like, just distraught. And that's not supposed to come over into the coverage, but it does. And maybe it's just a way we've changed our expectations. You know, Cronkite wouldn't have been sobbing had Hillary lost or had Trump won. But some of these news people, I mean, it's funny. Brian Williams very much played it straight for the most part, I thought. And that's how he is. But Rachel Maddow especially, and Chris Matthews and some of the other people, and you know, all their experts, you know, they're either Democrat or Republican. That's who they are. But to watch the news gatherers and reporters themselves really wear their heart on their sleeve, I was a little bit surprised, quite honestly. What did you think about all that?
Well, it really was fascinating to watch the results come in. And I did jump around to several of the different channels. MSNBC I only saw for a few minutes, but I watched more of CNN and ABC and Fox News Channel. Mm-hmm. And the results were surprising on a lot of levels, but it was interesting, though, to observe that some of the media outlets were not only showing their surprise, but in a sense, their disappointment as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little confusing. You mentioned Walter Cronkite back from the day. You would have been able to watch election results with him and not have had any sense of who he was pulling for. But I think you could have made that case also back in the day for Howard K. Smith and David Brinkley and John Chancellor and people like that as well. So, I mean, the time has left the building, so to speak, when we had those kinds of journalists who were more committed to public service first rather than wanting to insert themselves into the news. And I think that's been one of the issues in the election coverage with the media, is that the media has wanted to be part of the story. And we talked about that a little bit with the debate formats, and that you had, you know, television news personalities as debate moderators who wanted to be engaged in the debate show, and that's what they considered it, a show. But let me talk about the polls here for just a second, because I think the media really relied too much on polling during the election season, and they let a lot of the polling drive the discussion and the content of the news. And that is, you know, boy, they call that the horse race perspective in news coverage. that we're looking at how the polls move around and who's winning and who's losing, that sort of thing, rather than to look at issues or matters of substance. And the bottom line here is the media, I think, overemphasizes these polls to their own benefit because they all want to have polls. They all want to release polls. But that's part of their branding. That's part of them being part of the discussion. But it also gives them something to talk about. And it is easily done as opposed to looking beneath the surface on any candidate's particular policy or plans in terms of international terrorism or the economy or whatever. But the polling really did take everybody for a loop. And interestingly, I think there would have been signs out there to show that the media shouldn't have been relying on polling so much. And one of the signs on that is there is recent research out in the last year or two that shows that the response rate among citizens contacted for purposes of political polls has dropped to 9%, that only 9% of anybody who is contacted by a pollster will actually follow through and answer the questions. And about 20 years ago, the response rate was 35%. So we've lost a lot of people who used to be willing to answer polls who now are no longer willing to answer polls. And so we have to assume then that the 9% of the people who answer the pollsters' questions can represent the viewpoints of the 91% who no longer will answer questions. And there is also evidence out there that shows that Republicans and unaffiliated voters are twice as likely to decline to answer polls as Democrats. And so I think that might account for some of the reason that the polls seem to suggest Hillary Clinton was ready to win the election, when indeed she did not. And in fact, I was doing a presentation on Election Day, actually, talking to a group of citizens in Indianapolis, and one of the things I said to them is, Trump is under polling. You know, whatever the result is tonight, Trump is going to have more support than people think is out there, and that turned out to be true.
Yeah, quite a bit. And I also wonder if in this particular election, because there was a stigma with saying that you were voting for Donald Trump, there were so many different reasons that somebody could say, like, how could you do that? And Donald brought all of that on himself. But there are a lot of reasons that people discounted where somebody might say, no matter what, listen, I'm voting for the party. I'm voting for a Supreme Court justice that will align with my views. Say that pro-life is your issue, your big issue. Maybe then you said yourself, maybe you really like Donald Trump, but maybe you really don't, but you still voted for him because of that issue. I think there's a lot of people who maybe didn't want to talk about it too much because of the stigma that he brought upon himself, but still said in the end, I'm going to vote for him, but maybe you were kind of quiet about it, and I wonder if that helped underpoll him quite a bit as well.
I think so. And you make a very interesting point there that Trump did bring a lot of negative news on himself with his rather undisciplined comments and just behaviors at times. But having said that, you're exactly right, I think, when you say that there are people who maybe didn't like anything that Trump stood for personally, but they would rather him put somebody on the Supreme Court than Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And I think those kinds of things, you know, entered into the equation. And you've talked about it was not socially acceptable to tell a pollster or maybe even your friends or colleagues at work who you were going to vote for, because if you say, I'm Trump, it's easy then to be labeled, oh, you're a sexist or you're xenophobic or you're, you know, crazy or whatever. And so people might say, I don't want to have to enter into that kind of baggage, but I still would rather have him in charge for dealing with Supreme Court appointments or maybe managing the economy or any number of other issues.
Yeah, it was very interesting. So how do you think, you know, after the 2000 election when we were reporting results too early that the media kind of took a look at themselves and said, we're not going to report numbers so early in the day. We're going to be a little more careful with this, a little more cautious. Is there any lesson the media needs to take out of this election, do you think?
Oh, they do need to take a lesson about polling and that they misled the nation in terms of where the election stood. But I think even beyond just reporting the numbers of the polls, I think they should take a lesson in terms of how they frame the narrative around the polls. Because it's one thing to say, okay, here's a poll we took, here's what the numbers show. But the interpretation and analysis, and in fact some of the reporting in what is supposed to be straightforward news reporting, seemed to suggest that Trump had no chance. And this goes back to the primary season, because a lot of the stories that were done during the primary season, the Democratic primary between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, the narrative was, well, Bernie Sanders won the primary, you know, in Michigan, but he really doesn't have a chance to win the nomination. And so we were negating anything Bernie was trying to say or get going, and running a narrative that he didn't really have a chance. And that was kind of the narrative in the last several weeks of the general election. Well, the polls have tightened maybe a little bit, but Hillary's going to win anyway. And I think part of that is denial, but I think part of that is just, frankly, interpretation that turned out to be wrong, but also unnecessary. I mean, report the poll results, and if people think, you know, one person or the other is going to win, they can jump to their own conclusions. But I don't know we need to be led by that in a narrative that was coming from an anchor desk as opposed to like an opinion page of a newspaper.
Well, don't you think, though, in today's, I mean, that's part of the culture we've just developed, right? Because there aren't three major networks and a bunch of really good newspapers anymore. There's 8 million different places to get news, a lot of which is just crappy BS news, not real news at all. I mean, we had candidates using polling. They were quoting these online polls where it's like, who do you think won the debate? And you could just log on and click as many times as you wanted. We had Donald Trump throwing those out there, right? We had Hannity getting in trouble, I think, from Fox News for using those on the air. So there's so much pressure, I think, also on media to get ahead, get eyeballs, get clicks, that they're resorting to just about anything. And if polls are a discussion and she's up, he's down, he's this, she's that, I mean, we had 18 months to fill here, and we took every opportunity to find anything we could to talk about with this.
That's right. And it's easier to report on that kind of stuff and what I call the kind of wonkish political machinery than it is to really report on subtleties and nuances of issues. And by the way, we're not just imagining this. There's a guy named Andrew Tyndall who publishes the Tyndall Report online, and his claim to fame is that he has watched every evening network newscast on the major networks for something like 30 years, and he content analyzes them along several different scales, but in terms of tone and issue and content and stuff like that. But anyway, the bottom line here is a report he issued that came out just before the election showed that issue coverage during this year's campaign was down 70% from 2012, and if you go back even more than that, it's down 85% since 1992. So there is evidence then that the broadcast news networks are covering wonkish political machinery and personal attacks and not covering issues. Now, honestly, part of that is the fault of the candidates who themselves wanted to personally attack each other and, when you get right down to it, didn't spend a lot of time dealing with issues.
Yeah.
But still, I would say the national news media at some point needs to become the adult on the scene and say, okay, Hillary attacked Trump, Trump attacked Hillary. That happens every day. And at a certain point, that's not news. Let's go beneath the surface here and find out what either of them would do to fix the ailing economy, or what either of them has a plan, or if they don't, to tell us they don't have a plan to deal with ISIS.
And I don't want to play a blame game here, but, I mean, Donald Trump was a beast that the media, that the world, that the nation had never seen before in this type of atmosphere. Now, maybe we had people as brash, as loud, as maybe more P.T. Barnum than Aristotle before. Maybe we have had those people before, but not in yours or my lifetime, and not in an era where everything was covered and heard and seen over and over again, right? So the media was fell in love with Donald Trump at first because, God, this is fun. This is interesting. Every rally he had is live on CNN because here's this celebrity guy running for president, shaking things up, telling it like it is, and they didn't know what to do with themselves. I mean, they created this at the same time, right?
Oh, yeah. And in a sense, putting Trump on live TV was like watching a NASCAR race for all the color and excitement and waiting to see when there's going to be a wreck. And so I think that the media did play into that. But again, this is one of those things like the media doesn't have to put him on live.
Right.
And they don't have to put on every one of his outlandish statements at the expense of covering something that has more substance.
They don't. But in this realm of media, where money has to be made, the news divisions aren't. Bill Maher was in his interview with President Obama, was complaining that the we have to go back to an era where news is just a loss leader for companies, that that's not where they make their profit. But that's not how it is anymore. There's too many news organizations and too much that people can do themselves. Anybody could go Facebook Live one of these events. So it's going to be out there. So for CNN or Fox News or any of the outlets to say, well, let's not cover this, he doesn't need this. And then they say, but the other channel's covering it and they're kicking our butts.
Yeah, you know, right.
Then everybody jumps on board.
And you're right. A major concern is that the corporate news media now are huge profit centers.
Yeah.
Fox News Channel is the number one profit center for the entire news corporation, and that's a huge organization. CNN is a huge profit center for Time Warner. And ABC News is a huge profit center for Disney. Now, Disney would have a great bottom line even if ABC didn't return the profit for news that they did. But the world has changed in that regard. And, you know, you mentioned Walter Cronkite earlier. You know, for years, CBS's chairman of the board was a guy named William Paley, whose family had founded CBS, and he steered the CBS ship for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he was the chairman of CBS in the 50s and 60s, he flat out said, we are not going to make a profit out of our news division. That, you know, and if we lose money, we have to, but we'll make our money at CBS through the other divisions. But what money revenue we generate in news, we are going to put right back in there because we're doing this to serve the public. And also people don't realize that when Ted Turner founded CNN, you know, people thought Turner, you know, was a kook. But Ted Turner lost money at CNN and kept pouring money in there because he thought it served the issues, you know, the interest of the nation mm-hmm. in providing information and news at times when otherwise people wouldn't get it. And if it were just purely a business decision for Ted Turner, he would have dumped CNN like a hot potato well before 10 years. Now, I mean, mm-hmm. now CNN makes money, but for 10 years it didn't. And for a time, people wondered if it ever would. But Ted Turner kept investing the money in there. And I know Ted Turner's a little bit out there, but that was a statement that he was willing to do that because he thought it served a journalistic purpose rather than just a ratings purpose.
Do you think there is a possibility or a way? I mean, PBS is still out there, and people don't debate PBS too much. They don't do nearly the amount of coverage, but they do some. Where do you see us getting that ever in the future? Should we put more money? Should the government put more money into a news division at PBS that the government has its hands off of that is a non-political, just a fact-based? Do we need, you know, since everything else is consolidated so badly, since people do not buy newspapers anymore, do we need some form of that to step up that's not for profit, for real profit, but just to make sure that the information is out there to the people?
Well, that's an interesting theoretical kind of concept. I guess my own feeling is that, you know, we created the news industry in the United States with a free press as a commercial enterprise, and we're maybe so far down that road now it would be very hard to retrench and go back. And I don't even begrudge news organizations wanting to make money out of news. I mean, news is a commodity, and they might as well make money, and they're publicly traded. They owe their stockholders the best return they can get. But having said all that, I still think somebody, you know, in the leadership of these news organizations and in these corporations should down and should, you know, and just analyze what did this 2016 election tell us. And one thing they could do is just go back and content analyze their own coverage and go back and look and like, okay, for every story we had about Trump that was halfway positive in tone, we ran 9 stories that bashed him. And is that the best way to run a news organization? We had 2 negative stories about Trump for every 1 story about Hillary Clinton. By the way, this is data from the Media Research Center. You know, we had an imbalance there of 2 negative stories for Trump for every 1 of Clinton. Now again, Trump brought much of this on himself.
I was going to say, that's the tough part there, is because you could say, well, we need to even this out, but then you're biasing the coverage as well, right? Because
in a sense you could, but it's not like Hillary was an unblemished candidate. So, I mean, I think you could have found ways to provide a little bit of balance, but 9-1 is way out. And let me just say this. I think it's plausible. I mean, I have no evidence for this, but I think it's plausible that Trump's anti-establishment victory, I mean, he was running against the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of that could be the result of public pushback against the mainstream media that Trump tagged so often as unprincipled. And he made hay at all of his rallies by pointing at the media and talking about, you know, how dishonorable they were. And I think that the public responded to that, because I think the public looked at the media and said, you know, he's right. They're tilting against him. He's the anti-establishment guy. And let's face it, your mainstream media is viewed as part of the establishment now.
Sure, absolutely there. But Fox News is part of the establishment too, right? But they're
sure.
just on the other side of it. And while CNN would get mad if I said they were on the left side of it, I think they try to be neutral. MSNBC does not. They go to the left. But I think it's unfair, though, because Trump played that up so perfectly. He used the media to get all the free attention, and then he turned on them when his own issues were driving bad media, and he played it. I mean, you say what you will about him, he brilliantly played the electorate for this. He was not all about substance and exactly how we're going to fix things. He was about grand ideas and big plans and tapping into people whose voices weren't heard, who were not part of the social evolution of the last 8 years. And I think it would be, I just think it would be tough for us to say, well, the media unfairly portrayed him because they were using his words. And you could say, well, Hillary avoided the media like crazy, right? She didn't give a press conference for people were counting like 300 straight days. She was just letting him ride him his own wave of bad press for such a long time. The media does have to look at itself. I think for another time we'll have to debate, does the media make sure to be even in its coverage, or does it cover how things are coming out? Because this wasn't, you know, Reagan versus Jimmy Carter here. This was something we have never seen before and hopefully never exactly will again. I'm not saying a businessman or an independent or anything, but so much baggage got brought into this election that, like you said, the actual topics, the actual how they would do this or that was not discussed because it just wasn't there. There was so much about everything else to be covered and to bring eyeballs in with, which is the major driver over the actual substance of the news. I think when you said they should go back and look at how many negative versus how many positive stories they did on candidates, they'd also be looking at, or there'd be an accountant there saying, and here's how many eyeballs we had for these stories versus these stories. And
right.
that helps drive it more than anything else, unfortunately. The wall between the newsroom and the profit centers and the advertising and everything else is just not there anymore like it used to be.
That's true. And I must say, I am willing to give the media a break, although I think their performance was not that helpful during the campaign season. I am willing to give them a break because they were dealing with circumstances that were really difficult and unusual for them. We had unusually flawed candidates. We had lots of negative news about both of them. You had an electorate that maybe wasn't as issue-focused as it should have been, and the media really didn't have a template with which to work to run this year along the way. But I do think they kind of let things get out of control. You know, they were like the runaway sled down a hill. They just had trouble like getting substance onto that sled once it started going downhill with all the pop culture and all the, you know, negative
yeah.
stuff. And I must say, though, that I do think, though, that there were times the media tended to go the easy route. And again, Trump made it easy for them sometimes to report on his negative aspects because, you know, if the morning producers were coming in at Good Morning America, the Today Show, and they were like, okay, what story can we do about the election today? Oh, wait, look, at 1 in the morning, Donald Trump issued this, you know, angry tweet. Well, we'll make that the story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he made it easy for them at times with some of his mistakes and his undisciplined comments.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I think they're counting on it for the next 4 years as well. We'll see how that plays out. Dr. Jeff McCall is a professor of media studies at DePauw. You can follow him on Twitter at @prof_McCall, @MC_CALL, @prof_McCall. Dr. McCall, it's been great speaking with you over the election season. I hope we can keep doing it into the new year.
I look forward to it, Matt. Thank you very much for having me.
Mother, did it need to be so high?